The title of my message is straight from a Star Trek reference, unashamedly. It's resistance is not futile. There's a Star Trek episode where the enemy looks at them and goes, resistance is futile, right? And that is not true. That is not true. Resistance is not futile. We've been talking about resistance over the last couple of weeks. It's been tempting to use the resistance from Star Wars references, but I've refrained until just right then. But, you know, the Bible is a book of resistance, right? Especially it is resisting things that would oppose us. So we've been in Ephesians for the last few weeks, and let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm actually going to read it in my... We'll go to verse 14. We've been talking about, we said that in the scripture, we've seen that the Bible teaches that we are, how do I want to say this? Let me back up. We've been taught for years that you became a Christian and you got your sins forgiven and you're just kind of waiting around, hoping to maybe drag some people with you to get to heaven. And that's the whole gospel. That is not the whole gospel. That is a portion, that's a main part of the whole gospel, but it's a part of the gospel. So we've been changed and we've been put in positions. Amen. Everybody say position. Say, I've been given a position in Christ, right? So we talked about that we've been seated with Christ, right? We did our chair. Remember the chair illustration that we gave? The chair that we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? With him, far above all principalities, powers, and might. We are seated with him, and we don't have to allow stuff and situations, burdens, sins, whatever they may be, to rule our lives. We are called to rule and reign with him. Amen? Right? And so Paul prays, and this is what he prays in 3 and verse 14. Put my specs on. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his power in your inner man through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and firmly established in love, and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height, and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, and you be filled with the fullness of God, right? So then he prays, he says, and then we'll just end there. But he says, I want you to get this. Actually, he goes in, and actually in, that was 3. So actually in Ephesians 1, he actually prays that you would understand what has been given to you. And we talked about how the fact that in order to receive this, actually, let's go there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. You can't read, that's right. You can't read enough from Ephesians. He actually prays twice. Actually, if you look at it, it's like two, like, what do you call them? Bookends. Prayer here, a lot of good stuff, and prayer here, right? That you'll get it, right? He says, this is why, since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you. As I remember you in my prayer, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. You have to know it. And revelation. Say revelation. Revelation. In the knowledge of him, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the wealth of his riches, of his glorious inheritance? Everybody say inheritance. That means you got something. In the saints. And what is his immeasurable greatness of his power? Everybody say power.
Power.
Power. Toward us who believe according to his mighty working of his strength. We said that, like, so we have been given, and Paul says, I want, and this isn't just going to happen. This is not just, you're just not going to get this because you came forward at a Billy Graham crusade or a revival, or you left your hand and you accepted Jesus. This is that revelation is not going to come. This is going to be an ongoing revelation that Paul says, I want you to get. Meaning it's not going to be your normal thinking. You're going to have to receive it by revelation. So we said, and the preface of this, whatever this series is this idea of there are some things and there are some principles that God instilled in me going through different difficulties in my life. I said it before, I'll say it again, that one of the greatest understandings I have that Jesus said is in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So if you feel like, man, life is just tough. Man, life is just bad. Like Jesus says, hey, don't be shocked by that, right? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So I sat down with Julie, and we were sitting on talking on our porch, and we were talking, and she asked the most profound question. She said, well, what did you do to overcome these things? And I just started rattling some of these things off. And the first thing I said is, you know what? You have to know. You have to, I said this first. You have to have hope that things will change. You have to have hope that things can and will be different. So that's a good checkup right there. Like, where is your hope? Do you really believe that things can be different? Is that your faith? What is your faith? We'll dive into that a little bit more. And the second thing I said, you know what, Julie? I said, really, I had to realize as I was going through my own addiction stuff, and I had to realize that I am loved regardless of, you hear me say it all the time, I'm loved regardless of all the stuff, all the problems, all the issues, all the you want to do better and you mess up, you want to do better and you mess up, you want to do better and you mess up. That God loves me regardless in all of that mess, because if I don't know that He loves me, I'll never get out of that, right? So I need to know that I'm loved. And actually, the Scripture says that. He says, I want you to be rooted and firmly established in His love. And I said this. I said, you know what else? Julie, we have to know who we are, that we have a position in Christ. And that's what we talked about, that He's seated with Christ far above all principalities and powers, that I am seated, I am right, I'm in right standing. And then we said this, I said, you know what? You have to resist. You have to resist the enemy. And so we talked about that to an extent. And so we talked about this. We said, what is the inheritance that we've been given? And we read this scripture in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed. So we see that there's this idea of poverty that Jesus came to release us from, right? He sent us to, if you've been held captive by something, right? He's come to set you free. Set you free. Set you free. Y'all are going to be so glad you came this morning. Recovery of sight to the blind. There's different areas that you're blinded in, and God wants to recover your sight. He came to set free those who are oppressed. Another gospel, where he said that He actually came to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. And so here's the problem. I want to be really clear this morning and kind of talk the same kind of stuff that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, that you've been set free, right? You're supposed to live the life that God intended you to live, right? And I want to make clear the things that I'm talking about, because we can just think of this as ethereal. This can just be ethereal thought. This can be just oh, yeah, Jesus came to set me free. Amen, hallelujah. Those people need to be set free from those drugs. Amen. Right? Those people need to be set free from that alcohol. Amen. Like, those people need to be whatever they need to be, the big things. When we don't realize that we have stuff in our own lives that we're bound by. These truths are for us to understand. We're all growing from glory to glory. So I want to talk a little bit further about resisting. Resisting is really a way of life until we get to heaven. We will be resisting until we see Him face to face, because we live in a world where I don't know if you understand, like, when the Bible calls the enemy the god of this world, Jesus, the enemy takes Jesus up to a hill and says, all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you. Now that's a question. So the devil's going to give Jesus the kingdoms? Now who owns it? We need to understand where we're at. We're behind, we live behind the battle lines in enemy territory. That's where we live. And listen, you have to understand that whether we like it or not, we're in a world at war. And the only way, the guaranteed way that you will always be defeated is if you never engage. We live in this attitude of resistance. We have to live in this attitude of resistance. The Bible says that the enemy comes at us always seeking who he can devour, right? If he can't, it's interesting. I just thought of that. So if he can devour, that means he doesn't have to devour you. So your sign above your head says cannot be devoured right here, right? Unless you do some things to allow him. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about when we say resisting? We need to understand who we're not. I'm not resisting my spouse, right? I'm not here in it resisting my spouse. I'm not here resisting church members. I'm not here resisting the pastor. I'm not here resisting. There's an enemy that we're supposed to be resisting. I'm not here to resist my employer, or my neighbor, or my government, or my blah, 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 or my this, or my that. I'm here. There's an evil force in our world that we stand to resist. So to make it clear, and some of you went, oh, yeah, I really want to resist my employer. Oh, yeah, I really want to resist my government. Oh, I really want to resist this. And then, And then all these other people, they need to understand how they need to resist. Yes. But what about us? What about you? The Bible says that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. The question is, are you living in that abundance? That Jesus said he came to give you abundant life. So you may be saying, I'm just doing fine. I'm all right. I'm making it, you know. It's tough Monday through Friday, you know, this job that I don't like, and these people that I work with. I make it every single Friday, and I'm just thankful to make it. That's not abundance. That's not abundance. That's just the way life is. That's not abundance. Or we live in a, well, that's just normal. That's just normal. That's the way things have always been. That's not our standard. That's not the standard God has for us. Do you understand? Like, you cannot be delivered for what's normal in your own life. What you call normal in your life, you'll never be delivered from it. You'll never be delivered from what you call normal, because that's just normal. That's called agreement. That's called agreement. You have made an agreement that this is just normal for me to live like this. You know what? Jessica and I were talking. We were talking about some of the state of some of our teenagers and some early young adults. You know, it's amazing that we are seeing these anxiety levels in our teenagers like never before. Here's the problem. They embrace it like a badge of honor. They embrace this anxiety. I just have anxiety, and that's like this thing that we're supposed to coddle, and quote unquote love on, and show attention to because they have anxiety. Right? We see it. I think Jessica said they got their Nike shoes, they got the cool jeans, and they got their anxiety. That's what they walk around with. That is not the way it should be. Yeah, but they haven't been told that. They just say, "Oh yeah. Well, we'll just do whatever. We'll patch you and we'll accommodate your anxiety." No. 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 Depression? No. Not to me. Anxiety? No. Not to me. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 my 1,000 will fall at my and 10,000 my right hand. But not to me. Not to me. Not to me. It's not okay. So let me give you a couple of questions to ask for yourself, because after we now picked on all the young adults and the millennials and the teenagers, right? But what for us? And the question is this: is it okay that for your life, is it okay that? What about this? Is it okay that you've never had enough financially? Is that okay? Or is that just normal? Is it okay that you or I avoid social interactions? Is that okay? Is that just normal for you? Is it, that's right here. Is it okay that I live with anxiety? You just live worried, lived in trouble. Is it okay that my relationship with my spouse is subpar? Is it okay that you can't have disagreements without yelling and being angry? How about this one? This one's a little more subtle. Is it okay that, like, in our relationship, husbands and wives, actually it expands to other areas. Is it okay that I cannot comfortably say kind things to one another? What about this? You refer to your spouse. Is it okay that you refer to your spouse as your third child? It's just funny. Is it? Is it? Is that okay? Is it okay? Listen to this one. Is it okay that you can't help but just gossip and say things about other people? Is that okay? I can hear it. Like, I can hear it. Like the individually ones that I do when I say one of these, some of these things, I hear this. I'm good with that one. I'm good with that one. Oh, no, I don't like that one. I just hear that in my spirit. Is it? Oh, I'm just going to turn around and not look at anybody. Oh, there, look, there's the Borg. That's from the Star Trek. Okay, anyway, never mind. Resistance is not futile. Is it okay that you're lazy? Just look straight ahead. And nobody, just keep a straight face. Nobody will know. Is it okay? How about this one? This is rampant. Is it okay that you're constantly tired? I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I'm just always tired. I just don't have any strength. So that's okay? And we're doing nothing about it? That's abundant life. That's what you're telling me. Oh, but this, we talked about it in the healing class. Is it okay that your health is a constant issue and you just live with it? Go to the healing class. Actually, the healing class this morning, let me just go ahead and do some plug, was fantastic. Outstanding teaching on the subject of healing this morning, Julie. Great job. Great job. Actually, here's let me just say this. Let me stop right here. If you're battling constant health issues, you should be in this healing class. It should be part of it. Amen, Pastor. That's good. What about this? What about this? I'll get off the healing thing. What about this? You get angry. You just respond in anger, and that's just the way you are. Granddad was angry. Dad was angry. Now I'm angry. You're uptight and nervous all the time. Is that okay? See, it's the old story. It's the old adage, right? It's the little Jesusism. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's those little things that we just tolerate in our life that hurts us and destroys us. And we're okay with things that are subpar. When I talk about living subpar, these are the kind of things that I'm talking about. These subpar, living this subpar life and these things that we just keep on us. And almost sometimes it's like we just say, well, I'm not as bad as that. And I'm okay, but I'm not as bad as that. But I'm not that. Right? And sometimes the enemy is like obvious. Like super obvious. You ever notice that? Sometimes I'm doing life and all of a sudden like something will happen. Like he makes himself so obvious at times. And I just go, whew, all right, now I got you. Now I got your address. I know what you're doing. But many times it's so subtle. Like I had you talk about obvious. I had a friend of mine. He let me know this is a person that had a drug addiction problem for years and years. And they were out doing some work in their front yard and literally found a crack pipe, not a crack pipe, a heroin pipe or whatever. I don't know. A drug thing ready to be used with drugs in it, ready to fire up. Like, and you just go, wow, devil, you're so you're that obvious. Right? Sometimes I look at, sometimes the devil is so obvious, I go, he overplays his hand. next time I have a men's meeting and we men talk, I'll tell you one of the, let me just say, sometimes he overplays his hand. So we need to resist, right? I'm going to give you an example, a little bit more example. Come here, Nick. You married into sermon illustration. So Nick, this is not like I was hoping. Okay. I'm going to move this right here. Just stay right there. I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's not enough room, but anyway, you'll get the point. So Nick is God's perfect will for my life. Let me explain that. He is actually God's perfect will for my daughter's life, is really what it really is. But let's say I'm here, right? And Nick is exactly where God wants me to be. The kind of person I wish I was physically statured as Nick in many ways. So Nick is where I'm supposed to be in my life, right? The person that God's called me to be. That's the mark, right? That's the goal right there. But I'm just doing my life, right? And all of a sudden, I live my life, and all of a sudden, things in, let's say, my things like I have these issues that in my life that start controlling my life. And all of a sudden, Nick, move to your right. To your left. I'm sorry, your left. My right. All of a sudden, now I'm on a different course. Excuse me, I just messed up this whole illustration. So that is where I'm going. The beginning is where I'm supposed to be going, right? Now I am missing the mark. I'm skewed. Here, step a little bit further. A little further. And now, let's say I have this little thing. I know I shouldn't, but you know what? Sometimes I just can't help it. But it's just the way I was raised. It was just the way I was raised. That, you know what? In my house, my parents always just fought. And so that's just my expectation. And so now, go a little bit further that way. Now I'm off more. But this is just normal. This is just where I'm going. And I'm missing the mark from where God called me to hit. But then I just go, you know what? I have this little sin in my life, and I really can't stop, but it's just the way it is. And it really kind of helped me, it comforts me sometimes, it makes me feel good, right? And it's just something, it's not a big deal. And then I just allow it in my life. There's no resistance, there's no trying, and all of a sudden now What I don't see, what I see now is normal. This is where I'm going. What I see now as normal is far from where God has intended me to be. And it happens little by little. Thanks, Nick. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, give him a hand. Nick's awesome. And so we get off and we don't even realize it because it's normal. You can't be delivered from normal. You can't be delivered for stuff that you just say, that's just who I am. And there's no resistance. But the Bible didn't say, wish the devil away and he'll flee. Hope the devil away and he'll flee. He says, resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Resistance. We have to be people that resist stuff in our lives that should not be there. And sometimes we just relinquish it to, well, sins, you know, and these things. But it's other things as well. Things in our lives that we just say are normal, that we just accept. So how do we, steps to resist, real quick. Steps to resist. First of all, and let me just say, these are from my personal, what I did, right? And that I do when things go awry. The first thing is, your words matter. What comes out of your mouth matters. Listen, and it's not just, yeah, so in a word of faith teaching, we teach that God's word is powerful. Well, I submit to you this, that all words are powerful. The enemy's words are powerful. Your own words of doubt and unbelief are powerful. Your own confession of your mouth is powerful. Things like, well, I'll never be free from that. This is just normal for me. Sometimes I'm just an angry type person. Here it is. It's the I am scriptures, right? Your I am confessions. I am. I just am. I will never overcome this. These words that you say over yourself, they matter. They matter. What you say about yourself, that I can't. I'm a failure. Nothing good ever really happens for me. It's all those other people that things good happens for. I'll never change. Your words have power. We have to be careful. And not only that, is your words over yourself matter? And your words over others matter. We're supposed to be people that bring the truth, the light, pushing back the kingdom of darkness. You know, you deal with somebody who's dealing with, let me just say, counseling, there's a skill, right, involved, but being a good friend, being a good church member, being a good community member, it's really like, well, I don't know how to solve all these problems. The first place you can start is with your mouth. Speak life over people. Tell people that you believe in them. Tell people that you have hope for them. Tell people that things are not going to be like this forever. That God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger and God will work. Speak words of faith over people. Yeah, sometimes our words of doubt are just like, yeah, man, that's tough. And you're going to leave that there? That's where we as people of faith leave it. No, God's good. No, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Let me pick up the phone and call you this week, give you encouragement this week. Your words matter. Words in general matter. So there's a place on our a place on our website. It's called like God's Word for You, and there's all these things where you can go through, and there's all these places that I actually put them all together. You put it, whatever the words are that you go on our website, it's in under the resource place, spiritual resource, whatever it is, life resources, and it's like. And it's a whole thing where if you're battling anxiety, boom, there's a scripture about anxieties. There's all the scriptures. Actually, a lot of them are linked to Rex's page. He has a great page. Your confessions of your faith. What does the Bible say about anxiety? Is that something you should tolerate? No, resist it with the Word of God. Resist it with your mouth. Use your mouth over those things. Amen? Your mouth, the words matter. The next thing, we're going to do it really fast. But your words matter. What you say about yourself. Stop speaking death over your life. Stop. Just stop it. Stop it. Thus saith the Lord. Stop it. Oh, yeah. Let me just say this. I know it's hard. This is not easy to speak something that you don't see. I know that. Believe me. When my marriage was falling apart, to speak words of faith seemed like literally moving a mountain. To speak words of faith when nothing ever else had worked, hear me, to break cycles of addiction in my life, when nothing had ever worked. But all of a sudden, I became a person who learned how to resist and wasn't old, poor, pitiful me anymore. That now I have a responsibility with the words I say, right? Changing the way I think, getting my mind to what this book says about me by faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Listen, if this was easy, you wouldn't need faith. If this was just natural, you wouldn't need faith. The next thing is your actions. Here's where it gets dicey. Actions. I wrote this, you can't violate the principles of Proverbs and expect the blessings of God. What do I mean by that? Like, I don't know why. I don't know why I keep getting this. All this stuff gets, all this stuff, like, no, none of my bosses like me. Nobody, job after job after job. And I know there's other, but let me ask you this. Are you a hard worker? Do you show up on time? Like the scripture says that we're supposed to work as unto the Lord. Do you show up on time? Are you a hard worker? Diligence, sacrifice. You can't just say, well, God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory and be lazy. That doesn't work. Amen? It doesn't work. Sacrifice. Giving. What about the teachings of Jesus? I have stress and anxiety and all this stuff. Do you forgive other people? Do you walk in forgiveness like you're commanded to? We're called to this. Hey, God wants you free. And so he tells you, hey, if you want to be free, you need to forgive people. Because realize that those people that you're not forgiving, they just went on with their life. You're the one holding on to that. Like you realize, some people say, should I go up and apologize to them? Should I go up and just ask them for forgiveness? Or should I go? Sometimes. But sometimes you just need to let it go for your own good. Right? Sometimes you just don't need any more interactions with that person anymore. You just need to forgive them and let them go. Amen? Understand that forgiveness doesn't always mean, do we understand that? Forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation with that person. Some people are toxic and you need to stay away from them. And forgive them from your heart. Because it's really your heart. It's a heart issue. I forgive them. Jesus said, they nailed Jesus to the cross. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen's getting stoned to death. God, don't lay this sin on them. Really? Like some of us would be going, get him, God. Get him. Revenge for me. Right? As I'm closing my eyes, Lord, I want to see the lightning that strikes them. He says, forgive them. Forgive. Being a person of grace towards others. Walking in love with people. Many times, it's the simple life of obedience to God's word in faith that brings about the change that you desire. There's a couple I'm thinking about, and man, let me just tell you, they've been believing God for a house and believing God for, but I've watched them do all of these things by faith. Speak the word, right? I've watched them by faith, and I've watched them be diligent and make sacrificial decisions. And I had a really good, I'll leave that to myself, but I had a really good rapport. Things are moving for these guys, not just because they were just a person of confession, because their action lined up with the word of God, which led to the blessing that they're now living in. That makes sense? It's obedience. It's both faith and obedience. You know, obedience is a way to resist, right? Last one is this. The third one is this, is prayer. It seems obvious, but prayer. Have you talked to God about it? Have you talked to God about it? Because remember, if it's normal, it's not going to be brought up in your prayer life. That's not going to be brought up in your prayer life. If it's normal, that's just the way things are, the way things always have been, and the way things always will be. And that's a self-fulfilling prophecy if you do it that way, right? So prayer, ask the Lord, receive God's grace. Listen, if it's a sinful thing, listen, guys, listen. If it's a sinful thing, ask God's forgiveness. And not only that, receive His forgiveness. God, the Bible says if we ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Is He? Yes, He is. Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't hide it. Don't hide it like Adam and Eve hid. Just, it's me, God. You know what? God, here's a great prayer. God, I am a jacked up mess. I am a jacked up mess. And God says, I love you just like that. Oh, come on, let's fix this stuff. Let me get my image in you. Let me get you out of some of this bondage. Let me get you out of some of this stuff. Right? I love what Julie said this morning, and I'll repeat it. It's not about a formula that gets you to a certain step. It is God walking you through the process of getting you healed and restored. You understand? He's your, I don't know what your father was like, your natural father was like. And I know some of the stories that are in this room. But let me assure you that your father was not like that. Your father in heaven is exactly the way our scriptures tell us he is. He's loving, faithful love. It goes back to that faithful love. Remember, he is faithful love toward you in your mess. But I remember God speaking to me this. He said, David, I loved you way too much to allow you to stay where you were. Yeah. I loved you way too much to allow you to stay where you were. Yeah. My whole world got rocked. And it was awful at the time, but I'm grateful now because I allowed God to walk with me as a father walks a son through. And I watched him walk me through those things. It's not just about a formula. It's not about trying to get God to make you better. It's God walking you through the process of restoration in your life. Amen? And remember, ultimately, it's God's power. His greatness of his power toward you. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe? Like the man asked Jesus, Jesus asked the man. He looks at him and goes, do you believe I can make you well? Do you believe God will make you into the person he's called you to be? Do you believe that you're not destined to be off the mark? Do you believe that your life is not destined to something that's less than what God wants you to be? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Sometimes you have to get there. Don't allow the enemy to dictate your future. Don't allow the enemy to dictate your future. But David, I've tried and I've failed. Keep trying. Keep trying. I love what Keith Moore, one of my instructors at Rhema, Keith Moore, just a faith guy. He says, that scripture where it says we're beaten, but we're not destroyed, cast down, but not but abandoned, or what, I can't remember all of them. This is idea that I am like the enemy's just assaulting me and assaulting me. But yet somehow, like as you are laying on the ground and your face is all bloodied from the battle, you look up and you go, I'm winning. I'm winning. This battle is not over. I'm winning and I shall win. I shall overcome. It may not look like it now, but I shall overcome.
Yes.
I shall be who God called me to be. I shall not allow anxiety and depression to rule my life. No, not to me, you don't, devil. Not to me, you don't, my own mind. Not to me, the world trying to squeeze me into its mold. But the world trying to squeeze me into its mold of what is right and what is wrong. No more. I am going to stand on this word if I'm the last person who does it. And I will see the goodness of the God of God in the land of the living. Amen. Right here where I'm living is where I'm going to see the goodness of God. Yes. I shall live by faith and not by sight. Yes. I shall not let the enemy destroy my life. Yes. I shall not. Yes. I shall not. No, not to me. Yes. Not to me. It may look bad, and it still maybe look like I'm still failing, but I will be victorious over this. Because I refuse to give up. It's a picture of that big crane with the frog. Remember that? Have you seen that? The title under it says, Never Give Up. It is such a great picture of faith. I need it in my office. That's dangerous because now somebody will give it to me. But it's like, it's this idea of this crane that's halfway the frog. And the only thing that's out of the crane's mouth is its legs, right? But do you see the arms actually coming out of the crane's mouth, and it's got the hands around the crane's throat. It's going, never give up. Even though the only things hanging out of his mouth is his arms and his legs. I'm never giving up. You may be fully submersed into a crane's mouth. Never give up. It ain't over till it's over. Right? Amen, Lord. Come on, church. This is not the way God intended us to be. Full of love. You can't operate in the love of God with the people around us to be the light that God wants us to be if we're bound by things that keep us from loving one another. And so many of these things are so, that they're so entangled with God wants us to be his image on the earth. There's greater power for you. This is not the end of the road for you. The question is, what? And let me just say, one more thing. I do a lot of let me just say. What we've done, charismatics are notorious for this. I'll just come up in line. Somebody lay hands on me, and I'll be all better. That's not the Bible.
Yeah.
My Bible says, work your salvation out with fear and trembling. That we have work to do. We have stuff that we have to resist. Your pastor can't resist for you. Your neighbor, as much as our relationships with our friends, we can come in agreement and help one another, but ultimately it comes down to me and God, and me being a person that's full of knowledge of that I sit in that chair that God called me to sit in, and I take my authority that God's called me to walk in. And anxiety has no place in that. Depression has no place in that. Addiction has no place in that. Unloving marriages have no place in that. We are called to live the life that God has intended us to live. It is not by accident that my wife and I have a great marriage. It is not by accident. It's not because I married the right one. Let me tell you something. There are many days I went, is that the right one? Because we're about crazy with each other about right now. Right? I don't know if you know, like we have arguments. We have argument, don't we? Yeah, and she's wrong a lot, so we have arguments.
Another one about to start.
And we'll have another one in just a minute. See? But you know what? You know what we do, honestly? What does the word say about how we're supposed to handle disagreements between husband and wife? Take biblical wisdom, apply it by faith, where you do two powerful words. Well, More than two powerful words. The first two, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Hear me? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Just go ahead. If you're married in here, turn to your spouse right now. Just look at him and go, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And I was wrong. That's beautiful. And spouse, don't look at him and go, you're right. You were wrong. No. No, that's not an amen. That is not a time for amen. We walk in love with each other. I am for her. We're not in battle against each other. Listen, me and Rex are friends. We can have disagreements, but you know what? I'm not against him. I'm for him. Everything that we disagree with in the body of Christ doesn't have to flare up in his anger. That's ungodly. We're called to love each other. Love each other. Because listen, we're all going to fail. We're all fallible people. If you haven't realized I'm fallible, just give me a minute. I'll fail you too. I promise you. I am not perfect by far. None of us are. It's all by the grace of God that we go. And I am, but understand, that's not okay with me. I'm pushing forward until Christ is formed in me. And when I'm there, then I'll be satisfied. So I'll let you know when I'm in heaven. But until then, I'm going to push back. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. All this stuff that's in my mind and things that are normal, no more. Let's all stand together before I preach forever. Break the chain that keeps you in bondage. Next week, we're going to continue with this idea in a little bit different vein. Listen, if you're battling things, maybe God has revealed to you some stuff. Maybe God has revealed some things in you just this morning that you say, you know what? I'm tolerating that. A couple of things. First of all, resist. The first thing you can do is just say, that's not okay. This is not okay with me. It's not okay that this is going on. Eric, come on. Push the button. Oh, you know the microphone.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak as someone who has experience with depression and anxiety that, first of all, everything that he said about it is absolutely true. That is not who you are. That's not who you are forever.
Come on.
That is, you can get through this.
Yeah.
But I wanted to clarify when we talk about we don't coddle people who, like, have anxiety or we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
What we do is we walk through it with them. We come alongside them. You know, we say, like, we don't say that's not real because Jesus.
You know?
That is what your spirit is saying, what you're going through is real. It feels real to you, but it's not.
Come on.
It's not who you are.
Right.
And you don't have to receive that into your identity. So just being there to listen, let them talk it out and then be there to speak truth when you're done listening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that whole thing, just not coddling, is don't, don't just keep,
Don't just say that's fine. That's just who you are. And
We just, we'll be careful around you from now on. We should be careful, you know, but we should be considerate and compassionate, but we're there to walk through it with them and to see people to the other side.
100%. Totally agree. And actually, we'll talk more about that next week. We're going to talk about how, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about. It's going to be good. You have to come. As you're processing these things, maybe the Lord has opened up your eyes to some things in this morning, right? Listen, don't let this be the last day that you process this. Amen? And I just challenge you, come on Sunday mornings. Re-listen to this message, right? Do things that will push back against the enemy. We'll talk more about that next week. Julie?
Let's everybody just close our eyes. Every one of us has at least one thing, something that's trying to pull us off target. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's mental, maybe it is some of the things that David spoke directly to, maybe it's not. But right now, let's just take a minute. Let's let the God who loves us so much, and he loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us right where we're at. Let's let him bring something, bring some stuff up in our heart and shine his light on something that's pulling us off target for where God, that abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So right now, Father, we invite you to show us what that is. Holy Spirit, give us a picture. Give us words. Give us a sense of what that thing is right now that we need to resist. Mm-hmm. Could be something even shame. I just hear shame coming out in my heart too for someone. All right, Lord, we hear and we see what that is. Now we go through and we're going to say, that's not normal. So right now, between you and God, right there where you're at, just say, God, I see it. But that's not normal. Just say that right now, under your breath, or however you want to say it. God,
I see it.
God, that's not what you have for me. Now if we've kind of welcomed that in our life, maybe we've just embraced that, and we just tell God, sorry for accepting something that you took care of for me, God. Whether that's shame, God, Jesus, your blood was enough. Mm. Whether that's this, some kind of a cycle of sin and addiction, whatever, or it is anxiety, it could be fear or rejection. God, I break every agreement that I've made with that is who I am, or that is a part of me. Lord, right now, God, we break every agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, Lord, show us the truth. God, what is the truth? Lord, what is the new? What is the normal? God, what is it that you have for us? Let's build on the foundation of you are loved. 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 You are safe in his love. You are secure in his love. You are welcomed in his love. You are rescued by his love, by his faithful, merciful, grace-filled love. So, Lord, right now, God, we receive your love. But also, God, you don't just leave us out there. God, you fill us with your power to resist. God, you fill us with your wisdom, with your perspective, with your insight, with your thoughts. So right now, God, we welcome your power. Let's just say that. Say, God, fill me with your power.
Fill me with your power.
To walk out.
To walk out.
To resist.
To resist.
To stand.
To stand.
I receive.
I receive.
Your grace.
Your grace.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
And your power.
And your power.
For all the things that I'm facing. In Jesus' name. And now know that it's the truth. It is truth that sets you free. It is the truth. It's what God says. That's the power of what David was preaching. He's talking about it's the truth. That's the reality of what God says.
Yeah. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made us know the mystery of his will. That's what he's doing this morning. according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ. In him, we've also received an inheritance. Sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul prays this one more time. I pray that the God, this is what my prayer for you this morning and for myself. The prayer that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. I pray that, you know what, let's do it this way. Let's pray this together. Let's pray it as a prayer. Say, God, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I pray that my eyes of my heart will be enlightened so that I will know what is the hope of my calling. What is the wealth of your glorious inheritance towards me and your immeasurable greatness of your power toward me according to your working of your mighty strength in me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God has better for us. Amen. Amen. You want to close this down in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for promise. We thank you, God, for hope. We thank you, God, for your power. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, God, that we don't have to do this alone. God, you are walking us through for your kingdom. And God, we just pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives.
Yes.
On earth as it is in heaven, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Amen. See you Friday.